ॐ हरिः ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ. सो नौ वी हाव् टु टुडे स्टार्ट् दि सम्बन्धभाष्यम् पेज् नम्बर् 314 दि भाष्यम् बिगिन्स्. सो ऐ वाण्टेड् टु इण्ट्रोड्यूस् First of all, before we read, it's called the Shreyaha. So, Sadhana Vicharaha. Shreyasaha Sadhana Vicharaha. Vicharaha means enquiry. So, enquiry or analysis into the means of attainment of Mokshaha. So, after having completed his commentary on the Ekadasha Anuvakaha of this Ikshavalli. Now Shankara Bhagavatpada begins his commentary on this enquiry. In fact, his commentary itself presents the enquiry into the means of attainment of Mokshaha. In fact, the nature of the moksha also is analyzed here. So we have 12th Anuvakaha also. The 12th section also we have here, which forms part of this first chapter. But the 12th section has only Shanti Pataha with slight changes in some verbs. Because in this Shanti Pataha, the verbs are used in past tense. And why the past tense verbs are used, why Shanti Pataha is done at the end of the section, end of the chapter, if the question arises, the answer is, actually the verbs are used in past tense, therefore there is a thanks is expressed to Bhagavan. Oh, thank you very much for having enabled us to complete the first chapter without any obstacles. One is expression of thank, gratitude. Then, the Shanti Pata is done again seeking Bhagavan's grace in order to continue our study, especially Brahma Vidya subject matter, which is going to be discussed in the next chapter. So for the continuous study and for this, for the continuing study to be obstacle free, and also to express the gratitude for having been able to complete the first chapter, Shanti Pataha is done at the end of this chapter, first chapter. And so, before going to the second, that before concluding the chapter with the Shanti Pataha itself, Shankara Bhagavatpadaha presents this enquiry. And this Bhashyam is known as Sambandha Bhashyam. Sambandha Bhashyam. And Sambandha Bhashyam is usually presented at the beginning of any Upanishad, wherein the role of karma and the role of jnanam in attaining the moksha is discussed. So here, if you take the acharyas, there are many acharyas given to different systems, different disciplines, different schools of thought. And some of them are definitely Vaidikaha. They're all acharyas who accept Veda Shastram as the Pramanam. That is why even they're all known as Vaidikaha. Of course, we have Nastikaha, Avaidikaha. people who do not accept Veda Shastram as the Pramanam. Now we are not worried about the Avedikaha. Now we have to think of the Vaidikaha. When people who accept Vedaha and who also accept the fact that karma and jnanam both are equally important in attaining jnanam, which is mokshaha. So all the acharyas uniformly accept this one fact that karma and jnanam both are definitely important. Both have played their roles in playing. Come in. Both play their roles, play an important role in enabling the attainment of moksha. But still, then they differ in their views. They differ in their views in their understanding that the role of, even though they accept karma and jnanam as uniformly accept as means of attainment of moksha, but they do not understand their role of karma and role of jnanam in attainment of moksha. And Shankara Bhagavatpada makes it a point to clarify this. We all know already all of you must be knowing very well what is the role of karma and what is the role of jnanam. Means we have karma, then we have jnanam. So what is that which we need for moksha? This is the first one line answer for this. First, moksha is discovery of happiness which is already there as our own swarupam, which is the absolute ultimate goal. This moksha alone is otherwise said to be vimuktihi, vimochanam, muktihi, etc. And discovery of moksha needs only discovery of the truth. Discovery of the truth is discovery of freedom, discovery of happiness. So discovery of the truth or discovery of knowledge alone is said to be jnanam. Therefore, jnanam sadhanam mokshaha sadhyaha. Jnanam sadhanam mokshaha sadhyaha. And for this jnanam, what is the sadhanam? We say, for this clear knowledge, we have three steps. So shravanam is the sadhanam. Ajnana nivrittihi is the sadhyam, sadhya. Shravanam sadhanam, ajnana nivrittihi is the mean, again. Shravanam means ajnana nivrittihi, removal of ignorance is the end. Then mananam sadhanam, samshaya nivrittihi is the end. Mananam sadhanam, samshaya nivrittihi is the sadhyam, end. Removal of doubts. Then nididhyasanam is the sadhanam, jnanam is the sadhyam. Sadhanam, sadhyam, sadhanam, sadhyam must become very clear. So shravanam sadhanam, ajnana nivrittihi is the sadhyam, end. Then mananam sadhanam, samshaya nivrittihi, removal of doubts is the end. See, before even entering into Swamiji's thing, I'm just telling you this. Then nididhyasanam is the sadhanam, then jnanam is the nididhyasanam is the sadhanam, then doubt-free ascertained knowledge is the sadhyam. So doubt free ascertained knowledge is the sadhanam. Moksha is the sadhya, end. Okay, this is how we have this order. And before that, and for this jnanam, what is the qualification important? Therefore, we need steady, focused attention. Our attention is very distracted and disturbed, which means having a steady mind means what? Being able to be focused. Being able to be focused means what? In this context, being able to be with oneself. Being able to be with oneself at least for a length of time. Being able to be with oneself means not having the thoughts pertaining to other objects. Not entertaining thoughts pertaining to other objects. Thought of children, thought of wife, thought of husband, thought of world, thought of corona, thought of that, thought of food, thought of shopping. I'm not saying it is wrong to have them. But when we are focused in one thing, other thoughts should not be there. But it is not possible for us to be like that. Therefore, being able to be with oneself without the entertainment of thoughts pertaining to anything else other than the object of focus is called having the steady mind. It's also known as Chitta Samadhanam. Important qualification. And this is possible. Chitta Samadhanam is important for enquiry and for this clear, doubt-free, ascertained knowledge. Okay. In keeping with the degree of Chitta Samadhanam a person has, one's Shravanam will be effective, one's Mananam will be effective, of course Nididhyanam, Nididhyasanam will be possible. Okay, Nididhyasanam will be impossible without the Chitta Samadhanam. Enquiry will be impossible without Chitta Samadhanam. So Mananam will not be effective without Chitta Samadhanam. Shravanam will be okay, but still it will not be 100% effective without Chitta Samadhanam. Therefore, Chitta Samadhanam is very important. So without this Chitta Samadhanam, if a person is given to the discipline of Shravanam also, nothing wrong. But along with the Shravanam, one must take care of one's qualification, mental qualification in terms of Chitta Samadhanam. Okay. Now one more thing. Chitta Samadhanam is not there because of mental impurities. Mental impurities are what we say. These desires are very natural. Kamaha in terms of likes and dislikes. Krodaha, anger. Lobaha, greed. Madaha, pride. Matsaryam, jealousy. Then we have to add a few more things. What are they? Hatred, fear, anxiety. It all, okay? All these things also, mental impurities also contribute for lack of Chitta Samadhanam, one thing. So these impurities, how can they be removed? We cannot remove totally these impurities at all. Impurities cannot be removed at all totally. They will resolve effortlessly only in the wake of the ascertained knowledge of the truth. But unless these impurities are removed, jnanam is not possible. unless jnanam takes place, these impurities cannot be resolved for good. There's a catch 22, you know, the problem. This is the problem here. Which means, which should happen first? Okay, jnanam is not possible, ascertained clear vision is not possible unless impurities are not there. Unless impurities are resolved, unless jnanam takes place, impurities cannot be resolved for good. This is the fact. All these impurities are very natural for every human mind to have certain degree of impurities. But Shastram says, jnanam has to happen for them to be resolved, but they will be disturbing that without allowing the jnanam to rise. Jnana utpattav pratibandhakaha syuhu. They will be obstacles. So they need to be managed. They can be handled, managed until the jnanam takes place. Once jnanam takes place, then jnanam will take care of them. Which means in jnanam, they will all resolve. So to manage them alone, Shastram presents the most ingenious discipline of the universally acceptable way of life known as Karma Yoga. Because these impurities cannot be removed at all, they must be carefully dealt with. That is why Shastram presents the way of life called Karma Yoga. And Karma Yoga also, what is the most important striking thing? What is the most important feature of Karma Yoga that especially helps us handle these impurities? It is living a life of universal values. Consciously living a life of universal values. Knowing the value of values is the most important feature of Karma Yoga. So in living a life of Karma Yoga, of course, we have so many other aspects. I'm not going to elaborate on them because it is not subject matter here. But still, we have to remember that way of life before entering into this teaching. So there in Karma Yoga, of course, the attitudes are discussed. Proper attitude is very important. In performing action, there must be attitude. In facing the situations, there must be an attitude. And then there's attitude involved towards life, towards every other object which is around you, people around you. Attitude is important. Apart from the attitude, the most important thing is this dharma, in living a life of universal values. So Shastram repeatedly says, in fact, living a life of universal values means living one's life consciously with alertness. And this alertness also contributes for intellectual sharpness, emotional stability, which means emotionally unstable person or cannot be intellectually sharp, because emotional instability will make the intellect dull. Even though every intellect is capable of becoming sharper and sharper and sharper and sharpest, still emotional stability can dull the person. So emotional stability is important for intellectual sharpness. For this, definitely, living a life of dharma helps. And not only that is the only way a person can avoid accumulating new papams. So living a life of dharma consciously is definitely helps the person avoid accumulation of papam. So that the more the person has papam, more the person has punyam, less will be the effects of the papa karmas. of the past. So, Shastra talks about the Ishwara Kripa. So, Shastra Kripa, Guru Kripa, and Ishwara Kripa. Ishwara Kripa becomes the Shastra Kripa and the Guru Kripa. That is how the grace blesses us with the mental purification. Means one, he can easily manage these sixfold enemies. Antara Arayaha, Antara Ripavaha. Shankaracharya says in his commentary, we are going to see later on. Antara Ripavaha. Now they are not outside, our own enemies. So they can be managed. They cannot be destroyed for good, but they can be managed, which means a person can have mastery over those emotions. And having the mastery over those emotions alone is said to be Shamaha. Then if a mastery is there, certain degree of peacefulness will be peace is possible. And that's called purity is possible. Then with that, at least that purification, adequate degree of mental purification and mental steadiness also, a person can have chitta samadhanam. Thereby, his shavanam will be effective. While doing a shavanam also, a person can take care of this qualifications. So mananam also will be effective. Then gradually, it will contribute for him progressing towards the nididhyasanam, which of course will definitely result in the clear ascertained vision, which itself is mokshaha. So, this antakarna shuddhi and antakarna ishchalyam also imply sadhana chatushtaya sampattihi, the wealth of fourfold qualification. So, vivekaha, a person will have vivekaha. Without the intellectual sharpness, vivekaha is not possible. To discern the what is really, what is permanent and what is impermanent. We do not know what is permanent. So Shastram says what is permanent is the truth, reality. But definitely we ourselves can understand the limitations of everything in life just by going through a life. So this vivekaha will enable a person to discover vairagyam. So vairagyam is a sharp. Shankaracharya praises vairagyam like anything. It is not at all easy for a person to have vairagyam. Vairagyam is the first step for chitta samadhanam. Naturally, a person has to grow out of desire for many things, knowing their limitations. That is how a person is not agitated. So that is viveka vairagyam. Then with shamadhi shatka sampattihi, all these disciplines will strengthen a person's mokshutva. So with the craving for moksha, with the burning urge for moksha, when a person is also given to these disciplines of shavanam mananam, or even if the person does not have the qualification along with the shavanam, Shastram says one can take care of one's sadhana chatushtaya sampattihi. Then definitely a person will be able to accomplish the end, which means is karma important or not? Very important. Without karma, jnanam will be impossible. Why? Without karma, there's no way of preparing one's mind for jnanam. So mere karma will not bless us with the mental preparedness. Very important. Merely performing any ritual or practicing meditation, even involving oneself in religious activities, or even involving oneself in mundane activities, will not contribute for mental preparation. This karma has the capacity to contribute for mental preparation only if the karma is governed by dharma, all the actions are governed by dharma, and also if they're performed with the proper attitude, having moksha as the ultimate end. That's why Shastram emphasizes purushartha nischayaha. If purushartha nischayaha is there, then commitment to the pursuit of knowledge also is possible. Then, as a spiritual person, definitely a person can have, it is possible for one to live a life of karma yoga. That is when it is the attitudes with which we perform karma. The attitude with which we face the situations in life, the results of actions. The dharma, karmas, all that we do being governed by dharma, knowledge of dharma, all these things alone convert karma into a preparatory discipline. Only then karma becomes karma yoga. Otherwise, mere karma will not take us any distance from where we are, apart from blessing us with some punyam or papam. This is karma yoga. So definitely, a karma yogi's life itself, Shastram glorifies a lot. A real karma yogi is a sadhu, mahatma. Because a person totally surrendered his life, surrendered his will to dharma, such a person is really a sadhu, sadhu purushaha, Shastram says. Therefore, but what is the role of karma yoga? Karma. Karma, when lived consciously, thoughtfully, prayerfully, worshipfully, in conformity with dharma, converts itself into a preparatory discipline. Maximum karma can do is preparing the mind for jnanam, blessing us with the chitta samadhanam or antakarna shuddhi and antakarna naischarya. This is what karma can do. This is the role of karma. But karma cannot, even however righteous a person is, however righteously a life is lived also, karma itself cannot remove ignorance at all. Karma cannot remove ignorance at all. However great the action is, however good the action is, definitely karma, how much our activities we do, whether it is religious activities in terms of performing rituals and pujas, etc., or even social service activities for the public welfare, they're all wonderful. They have to be performed, but definitely they cannot remove ignorance at all. Which means unless and until ignorance is resolved, there's no moksha possible. Therefore, what is that? This is the limitation of karma. This is what we have to understand, limitation of karma. So what is the advantage and benefit of karma lived as yoga, and what is the limitation of karma yoga? Karma cannot remove the ajnanam, which means karma is important to prepare the mind. At the same time, karma, living a life of karma yoga itself will be inadequate. One cannot attain jnanam, because karma itself is a product of ajnanam. Why karma cannot remove ignorance? Why? Because karma itself is a product of ignorance. This also we all know very well. I'm repeating what you already know, just to enter into the actual reading of the Bhashya. Why karma cannot remove ignorance? Because karma is product of ignorance. How? It is ignorance. Self-ignorance is the root cause of samsaraha. Ajnanam, okay, atma ajnanam, samsarasya mola karanam, This is the Shastra's repeated slogan. Ajnanam is the cause of samsara, means the bondage, means our whole aim is to discover freedom from this bondage. Therefore, ignorance results in the erroneous perception. What does the ignorance do? We are not talking about the total ignorance. We are not talking about the purna ajnanam. Purna ajnanam is not a problem. Ajnanam by itself does not cause samsara. Okay, purna jnanam, of course, greatest blessing. That's a luxury. Total knowledge is luxury. Total ignorance is bliss. But total ignorance is actually does not cause any samsara by itself. But totally, then there is a partial ignorance and partial ajnanam. And a partial ignorance is there, which is called avidya here. And this ajnanam alone is said to be the cause of samsara. Even this ajnanam is not the cause of samsara, but this partial ignorance and partial knowledge, the partial ignorance contributes for error. Because in total ignorance, error is not possible. In total knowledge also, error is not possible. Where error is, because Shankaracharya gives importance for this, what is that which causes the error? Okay, dosha drishtihi. Dosha drishtihi, erroneous perception itself is because of partial ignorance. And it is this erroneous perception which causes the samsara. So now ignorance does not cause samsara directly. Therefore, moola karanam ajnanam, parampara karanam adhyasaha. Parampara karanam means what? Indirect. Okay. We say direct and indirect. Immediate causes adhyasa. And moola karanam is, moola karanam, original cause is ignorance. So what does this erroneous perception do? Erroneous perception definitely results in superimposed limitations, dharmas of anatma upon the atma. Especially mithya anatma's dharmas are superimposed upon satya atma. The superimposition is also said to be adhyasa, otherwise adhyaropaha. People, Pujya Swamiji so beautifully used these two words, adhyasaha and adhyaropaha. But every Vedanta teacher, they closely see it. So adhyaropaha itself means superimposition. Adi aropanam. It's a ropanam, aropanam, adi aropanam. Adhyaropanam, adhyaropaha means superimposition of the anatma dharmas, mithya anatma dharmas upon the satya atma is superimposition adhyaropaha. Again, who superimposes? Superimposition happens. It is not you, it is not I, it is not anatma, it is not atma. Superimposition takes place, happens. Because of the adhyasaha. Adhyasa is because of the ajnanam. Here, we are objectively analyzing the situation. We are not saying you are doing it, I am doing it, who is doing it, who superimposes, who is mistaking. No, there is perception, erroneous perception of not only the first erroneous perception is because of the truth, the ignorance of the truth. And the truth happens to be obtaining as one's own self. The ignorance is said to be what? Self-ignorance also. Therefore, superimpose this, the erroneous perception is of the self as well as the world. So, anatmani, atmani. Okay, there is a drishtihi. drishtav doshaha. Anatmanaha drishtav api doshaha. There is error in the perception of the anatma prapancha. There is error in the perception of the atma also, self also. And it is this erroneous perception, we know, results in what? Adhyaropaha, results in the asha. Ahankaraha. Ahankaraha itself is because of the adhyaropa adhyasaha. So ahankaraha, what is ahankaraha? Ahankaraha is any wrong notion a person entertains about the self is ahankara. The wrong notions, wrong conclusions about the universe, we are not talking, they're all erroneous. It is different. But especially any notion a person entertains about oneself is ahankara. And then what is ahankara again? We have to remember, there is naturally knowledge of self-existence in terms of I am. If you say I, that is the manifestation of chit swarupam of the self. I is the manifestation of chit swarupam. Am is the manifestation of sat swarupam, satrup swarupam. In I and am, together I am is what? Chit sat swarupa vyakt. Okay? Vyaktata. See, manifestation of chit swarupam and sat swarupam together is what? I am. Okay? I am. So, I stands for chit, am stands for sat, consciousness, existence. I am means just consciousness, existence, manifest. That is manifestation of jnanam, which is knowledge of self-existence. And because of the presence of knowledge of self-existence, which is manifestation of knowledge, there is also knowledge of the existence of the world in terms of jagat asti. World is, I am, I see, therefore the world is. This is jnanam. Anything more than this is called what? Erroneous perception. But here I am fat, tall, thin, hungry, thirsty, angry, sad, upset, happy. I've taken important adjectives. Okay? Starting from Annamaya Kosha to Anandamaya Kosha. How I is, this I the consciousness, am the existence. Okay? They're not two. The consciousness existence. Pure consciousness existence manifest alone is I am the beautiful jnanam. And this I am identified with. I am is just the knowledge. It is there. Like when the light is in the presence of light, many opaque things shine. Like that I am, so the world shines. That's all. We should not identify the light with the opaque thing. But here what happens? Identity with the body results in saying, I am fat, I am tall, etc. Identity with the pranas results in saying, I am hungry, I am thirsty. Identity with the mind results in saying, I am sad, I am upset. And then identity with the intellect makes you say, I am the experiencer, I am the enjoyer, I am the knower, I am the doer. These notions are because of the identity with the intellect. I am happy, I am very happy, I am very, very happy is because of the identity with the mental disposition. Okay, in terms of some certain mental disposition, happy disposition of the mind. So, at all levels, there is wrong identity. And as a result of wrong identity, wrong identity with all these, what is available at different levels of experience, when a person has any notion, I am happy if a person says it is erroneous notion about the self. I'm unhappy if a person says that is also erroneous notion about the self. I'm sad if a person says erroneous notion about the self. I'm upset. I grieve if a person says erroneous notion about the self. I'm hungry. I'm thirsty. Okay. Means it is all erroneous notion about the self. I'm not saying there's no hunger, sadness, etc. They're all there. But connecting with what I am. So any sentence like that, anything added to I am is expression of erroneous notion a person entertains about oneself, which is known as ahankaraha. So adhyanam leads to adhyasaha. Adhyasaha results in adhyaropaha. Adhyaropaha results in ahankaraha. And this ahankaraha alone, wrong notion results in what? Because of wrong identity, naturally it results in the common human fundamental problem. Because identity is with the, in fact, this I am, what is I am? Manifestation of consciousness existence, which is actually essentially free from all limitations, limitlessness. But this limitless consciousness existence manifest, identified with a time-wise limited, spatially limited, object-wise limited, body, mind, sense complex. Okay. Entertains a notion, I am a limited individual human being. And this notion alone gives rise to the common human fundamental problem of sense of limitation centered on I. The sense of limitation centered on I means sense of smallness, sense of inadequacy, sense of unhappiness centered on I is what? Common human fundamental problem. It is a universal human problem. And it is this problem gives rise to the fundamental desire of wanting to be free from limitations. And the fundamental desire of wanting to be free from all limitations. Okay. Wanting to be happy otherwise, alone, gives rise to, it is the desire. This is how the phenomenon called desire originates. You understand what causes the desire. How ajnanam is the root cause, but still this fundamental problem is the immediate cause that I am small. I'm a mortal, I'm unhappy, etc. The sense of limitations centered on I becomes what? Results in the fundamental desire of wanting to be free from limitations. And this wanting to be free from limitations is actually wanting to be free from unhappiness, is the natural emotional urge. So natural urge means it must be fulfilled. Anything natural urge, you cannot just ignore it. Like how you cannot ignore your hunger and thirst. You have to eat, you have to drink because natural urges. So here also, this is natural urge. Wanting to be free from limitations, I want to be happy is a natural urge, emotional urge. It is this urge results in what? We call it a fundamental desire, which is also very common in the entire, on the part of entire humanity. It's not that one person has this. This alone gives rise to innumerable, countless different types of desires on the part of different human beings in keeping with their inclinations and tastes and prarabdha karma. Desires are so many varied. Varied desires for varied objects, but all these desires are symptoms of the one disease of the fundamental desire of wanting to be free from limitations. And then desire alone prompts a person to do karma. Desire prompts an action. To fulfill the desire, one has to be active, one has to act. So karma, desire causes the, in Bhashyam we'll see all this beautifully. Shankar Bhagavad Pada will make us understand. Desire alone causes the action. What is the immediate cause of the action? Desire. What is the immediate cause of the desire? No. The desire is sense fundamental problem of sense of limitation centered on I. That is because of Adhyaropa. Like that, if you see, now you can understand how karmanaha moola karanam ajnanam. Karmanaha moola karanam ajnanam. The root cause of karma is also ignorance. The immediate cause of karma action is desire. But because the cause of desire also is ajnanam, ignorance. This is how Vedanta presents the whole teaching. Therefore, why you should understand all the whole story, why do you need? Because there's a wrong notion. The karma should be connected with, combined with the jnanam for mokshaha. So Shastram says, karma can never be combined, need not be combined. Why? Because karma cannot be a means of attainment of mokshaha. Why? Because karma cannot remove ignorance. If ignorance is the cause of bondage, ignorance has to be removed. And for removing ignorance, what you need is only jnanam, not karma. Karma cannot remove ignorance because karma is the product of ignorance. Is it clear now? It is very important to understand that karma being the product of ajnanam, ignorance. Now, this karma, what does karma do? Karma produces phalam. Karma is the cause of the production of the result. Even though result is determined by the natural laws, for the natural law to determine the result, karma is the nimitta. Therefore, karma is the cause for result. And the results take their own time to manifest, to fructify. Therefore, results have to be exhausted. Results have to be enjoyed. Punyam or papam. Of course, dharma viruddham karma produces papam. Dharma aviruddham karma produces punyam. The action which is opposed to dharma produces papam. Action which is unopposed to dharma produces punyam. And punya papam will be translated into the experience of sukham and dukkham, pleasure and pain. And this has to be exhausted. And how are you going to experience sukham and dukkham? Only in the form, in the mind. Sukha dukkha anubhavaha is only in the form of entertainment of mental disposition. Okay? Your sukham also will be in the form of mental condition. Dukkham also will be in the form of mental condition. So all afflictions are said to be emotional. The physical suffering is also part of the karma phalam, but still mainly the suffering is, we always say, emotional. Sukham and dukkham experience only in the mind. It's a mental disposition. What is pain? It's a mental condition, mental disposition. What is sukham? It's a mental disposition. Okay, mental condition. So here, that is how we'll be exhausted. And for us, for a person to experience the sukha dukkha, experiencing sukha dukkha, one needs definitely the mind, the instrument of knowledge, experience is important. So then for a person to have that experience, something must be nimitta. There must be objects of perception. Therefore, instruments of sense organ, instruments of knowledge, and instruments of actions, and the abode of experience. Okay, all of them are necessary, and Bhagavan in the form of order provides this beautiful system of karya karana sanghataha. Karya karana sanghataha. Body, mind, sense complex. Karyam, physical body. Karana stands for all the internal subtle instruments. Karya karana sanghataha. Sanghataha means put together. And all of them are well assembled, intelligently assembled, okay, package. Is karyakarana sanghataha, body, mind, sense complex. And this is there. So a person, this is the exhaustive karma alone. Assumption of body is necessary. That is how a person assumes the body, again is born again. Only for exhausting punya papam a person has in one's account. So, this is what is said to be what? Samsaraha. Okay, being born again. Being born again, a person again performs karma, again accumulates karma palani. So, while exhausting the parabdha karma palam, whatever is accumulated is called sanchita karma palam. Sorry, agami karma palam. One has sanchitam in one's account. Agami is there, parabdha is there. I'm not doing the going into the details of those things, you know very well. What I want to say, this is how a person continues to be in samsara. I want you to understand how ajnanam is the moola karanam for samsaraha. Because you must be convinced of this fact that ignorance is the root cause of samsaraha. And you must be convinced of the fact knowledge, karma, any amount of punyam a person earns cannot remove ignorance. Punya papam, result of action, cannot, even punyam cannot remove ignorance. Punyam cannot remove ignorance. Of course, papam cannot remove at all ignorance. Karma cannot remove ignorance. Experience of punya papam cannot remove ignorance. Therefore, they will keep you continuously in samsara. All of them will keep you, will retain a person in samsara. Samsarika jivite punaha punaha stapayati. Again and again, it will make a person, retain a person in samsara. Therefore, what is that which is needed for samsara nivrittihi? For freedom from samsara, for resolving the samsara for good, all that a person needs is ajnanam has to be resolved. Jnanam alone is required. That is what we saw in our Dakshinamurti Stotram. How seeing the whole Jagrat Prapancha within oneself, a person sees as though it is outside just because he is in sleep of ignorance. The only thing a person has to do to see that I am the only non-dual reality, A person has to wake up from sleep of ignorance. This is what this is how Shastram presents the teaching. Therefore, what is Karma Yoga for then? Karma Yoga is only for mental purification and mental steadiness. Only with that a person can have Chitta Samadhanam. Only then Vichara is possible. Shravanam will be effective, Mananam will be effective, Nididhyasanam will be possible. Then Jnanam is possible. But what is required for Ajnana Nivrittihi? So for Moksha we need Ajnana Nivrittihi. For Ajnana Nivrittihi we need Jnanam. And for Jnanam alone is the Sadhanam. Therefore, Karma Yoga, role of Karma Yoga is preparing the mind for Jnanam. The role of Jnanam is resolving the Ajnanam. And resolution of Ajnanam is what? Freedom. Moksha. This is how Advaita Vedanti presents the teaching. Whereas, we will see what are all other people's views and how Shankara is going to refute them. We will see in the next class.